Hey guys, and welcome to episode number 13 of Let's Book Talk. Today we're speaking with Arcadia Rain, the author of The Rose in the Shadows. We had such a great conversation about this book and the writing process, and I always find it funny how authors really love to mess with the reader, whether that be subverting expectations, whether that be killing off fan favorite characters. We got into that, as well as a lot of other things, so without further ado, let's get into the conversation. When I was reading your author bio, I thought it was so funny because I start off these episodes the same way every time, asking how, you know, authors develop their passion for storytelling. And you, like, word for word had that listed, how you had that from a very early age. So I'd love to know, like, how did that start for you?
Yeah, that's such a great question that I wish I had a better answer for. Honestly, I've always loved storytelling. I've always been the kid that kind of had a book in my hands. I delved into theater for a little bit and I liked that version of storytelling. I did script writing for a little bit, but for me, reading and storytelling was always kind of an escape that allowed me to kind of cope with or work through emotions. And so it's actually funny because I reference that a little bit in The Rose in the Shadows. The dedication is dedicated to the young women who came home after school and pretended to do their homework while writing books on the family computer. And it's a fun reference actually to a time that I was doing my homework pretty late in middle school. And my dad was like, "Wow, you're doing homework pretty late. What's going on?" And I was, you know, I don't know. They gave us a lot of homework. I don't know. So weird. And it was before I knew that computers were trackable. And so my dad goes, so you want to explain why you spent 2 hours searching medieval weaponry?" But, you know, it served a purpose because Rose in the Shadows has plenty of medieval weaponry in it.
That is so funny. I mean, what did that feel like writing that dedication? It must have been like almost like a full circle moment, like from those days up until, you know, you've actually, you know, finished that story and are getting ready to share it with the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a full circle moment. And I think we'll touch on this a little bit throughout the conversation today, but The Rose in the Shadows has been such a long journey for it to now be my debut novel that's kind of going out in the world. Yeah. It is really special. And I think often of those like videos that are really popular on TikTok that have the adult and they're kind of talking to this childhood version of themselves. And this book really feels like me kind of giving that gift to my childhood self that kind of dreamed of this being a possibility.
That's so awesome. That's always one of my favorite things to learn about, you know, different authors and their respective journeys going through, you know, writing that debut novel. And like, a lot of the time it is that long road, a story that you've been working with, you know, for so long. You know, for you, what were some of your, you know, inspirations and influences that you kind of drew upon while writing this story?
I drew inspiration from a lot of different places. I definitely have a lot of other authors that I kind of grew up with and that I love, that I've incorporated some of the aspects of their writing that I really enjoy. I think of authors that have this incredible world building that goes for two or three different books. And you kind of get to the last book in the series and then you're like, "Oh, that's what that meant." I think that's really interesting. I think authors that are able to make really likable villains that are really dynamic, that have their own kind of backstory is really interesting. And I draw a lot of inspiration from that. A lot of Rose in the Shadows is based loosely on Greek mythology. So I wanted that structure, but I wanted the freedom to kind of make it my own. So it's based on, it is not Greek mythology. And then I do a lot of gaining inspiration from like architecture and different places. I traveled up to mansions from the Gilded Age over in Newburyport, Rhode Island. And I got to kind of see that decor style and think about how that fits within a fantastical setting.
You know, staying on that topic of like doing that sort of research about, you know, visiting these kinds of locations and whatnot, when you're doing that, what is like your number one goal? Is it getting all the details, you know, as, you know, correctly as you can get them? Or is it just more so being able to deliver that descriptive, you know, feel and make the reader like feel like they're in that location?
I would say it's a little bit of both. I'm a very visual person. And so a lot of times when I'm writing, I'm starting with an image in my head of like, this is what it looks like, or this is how I see these characters interacting. And then I'm kind of going from there. And so a lot of times when I'm traveling or I'm doing this kind of research, it's more to inform the picture that's in my head. But also, sometimes it is kind of what are the best ways to describe what that picture is, and going to museums or going to kind of historical sites and seeing how other people have described it can also be really informative as well.
That's really cool. I'm always interested to see like what that process is like. You know, I'm sure everybody has their, you know, their different methods of going about that. So that's always interesting for me. But now let's talk about the book, The Rose in the Shadows. I mean, how did the story come about, one, and what was the writing process like? You know, were there any challenges? Were there any, you know, just moments that surprised you while writing? You know, tell me all about it and how it all went.
Yeah, those are really good questions. So, The Rose in the Shadows tells the story of a young woman, Thea, who shows up at the castle of the Kingdom of Athenia. And she has absolutely no memories of her life, but she does have the ability to kind of wield magic. And she has a mark on her chest that brands her as the last living descendant of Hyrax, the god of the dead. And so, because of that lineage, she is considered a royal family member. So, she's kind of thrust into court politics and has to learn how to navigate that a little bit. And when these mysterious attacks start happening at the castle, it becomes pretty clear that not everybody is happy that the House of Hyrax has returned. And so Thea kind of has to learn how to control this magical power. She has to try and figure out who she is, and she also has to try and figure out who she can trust, which is maybe a little easier said than done. And when I first started thinking of it, it really wasn't my intention to do anything with it. It was not my intention to write a full book or to publish it. It was just an idea that would not get out of my head. And this was probably back in 2017 that I first started thinking about it. And I finally just put pen to paper to try and get it out of my head so I could move on with my life, and wrote a good bit of it and ended up realizing that that draft just wasn't working. The initial draft, they were like high school age and they were in a boarding school. It was very, very different from what ended up coming to place. And I got like 25% of the way through, got the worst writer's block, and said to myself, this is not working. I need to start over again. Wrote a good chunk of the book, got about 90% of the way through, and again realized this is not working and I need to start over. And so third time was really the charm with this. And third time is when I really kind of slowed myself down and I did a lot of research about mythology. I did a lot of research about the craft of writing and how to create an outline and how to structure chapters and character arcs, and really kind of took my time. And that's when it started to flourish. And from there, kind of poured out. I finished that first draft in December of 2022, and spent a lot of last year doing edits, sending it out to beta readers, all of that kind of good stuff before finally moving it towards publication now.
What do you think helped you, you know, continue to persevere through that first and second time to give it the third try to get it done? Because I can imagine, you know, I'm sure there are writers out there that have gone through those, you know, trials and tribulations of trying to get a story finished, and they keep hitting that roadblock, and then they just say, okay, I'm done. I'll work on something else, or I'll just stop writing altogether. I'm sure people have gone through that as well. So if you remember, like, what was it for you that just kept you saying, I have to finish it because I can't get it out of my head?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had to have a good, like, long, hard talk with myself. And I think that part of what was happening and why it wasn't working was I wasn't trusting myself a lot and was having a lot of insecurity. Part of the issue was that I was trying to write this really incredibly magical, fantastical story, and I was structuring it like an urban fantasy. So I was kind of structuring it in our real world. And I think I was just scared of my own ability to create a world from scratch. And that's what the story needed. That was the setting that the story needed. And so I had to kind of have a talk to myself of like, you can do this. Like, there is nothing stopping you from creating your own magic system. There is nothing stopping you from creating your own world. And once I kind of gave myself that permission to take a couple risks with the writing process, the story started to tell itself in a lot of ways.
Now, I love what you said about giving yourself the permission to create something, especially something like a fantasy world that is all from your own imagination. When writing that, like, how do you go about developing those characters, that world, and making it as relatable as you can from a character perspective for the reader, so they're not like trying to wrap their minds around something that is just hard to connect to.
Yeah, I think relatability is something that's really important, especially within this genre. And I think a lot about the characters that have been really meaningful to me as a reader. Usually it's the characters that are really relatable, that I can see their struggles and I can see myself in them. I think a lot about A Court of Silver Flames by SJM. That is one of my favorite books of all time. And when I tell that to people, they're usually kind of like an eyebrow raise because we all know why that book is a little popular. But it's Nesta's kind of struggle with her mental health that really kind of spoke to me. And that's this idea that we can take these really fantastical settings that feel safe because they're magical and there's these huge characters and everybody's strong and everybody can fight. And we're having them face these kind of real struggles that you and I go through too. And if Nesta can do it, if these characters can do it, then so can I too. And so that's something I really aspire to with my writing in terms of how I get that accomplished. A lot of times the writing process for me starts with a couple scenes in particular. I know kind of starting out, I know this is going to happen, I know that's going to happen, and then I kind of structure the rest of the outline around those scenes. And then from there with characters, I really try to think about them as dynamic people and not just characters that exist within this fraction of a story. So what I did with the characters in The Rose and the Shadows is I kind of sat down and mapped out their whole lives and what happened to them in childhood, what happened to them now in adulthood, what happened to them 2 weeks before the start of this book, because that's going to then inform how they respond to things, how they speak, how they act. And I think that helped to kind of inform how their arcs happen throughout the book as well.
Was it always your, like, did you always envision sort of mapping out a story in that way? Or did you try different things and just felt that was what worked best for you?
I think when I first started writing those initial drafts, just to kind of get it out of my head, I had those scenes. I had those two or three scenes of like, I know this is going to happen. And I just completely free wrote and kind of went for it. And that's why I do look back on those initial drafts is they weren't necessarily a waste of time. They were kind of developing who these people were a little bit. But then from there came kind of the outlining a little bit. So I think now that I've done The Rose and the Shadows and I'm working on book two, that's how I'm working now as an author. And I think that's how I'll continue to work. But sometimes I do kind of resort back to just free writing.
No, that makes complete sense. And I can just imagine what the editing process was like for this book. I'm sure. You're confronted with those decisions of, I really want to keep this in, but I think I might have to cut it. And a lot of those changes might be heartbreaking. So I wanted to ask you, did you have to make any cuts that not only broke your heart, but felt like even if they did, it was the right move to take them out? Or did you fight for some things to stay in?
I had a really, really incredible beta team that came back with my first draft and had a lot of suggestions of how it could be improved. And most of those suggestions actually were adding things in. So
Awesome.
I really didn't have to cut anything in the first draft. There are a couple chapters that got added in to kind of further certain character arcs or kind of explain certain things. And it's funny because now that the book is with my ARC readers who are getting that kind of first look at it, those are the chapters that are really standing out that people love, which I appreciate. I think there was in particular one plot twist at the very end that during the editing process, I was writing and kind of, this seems like a plot hole that needs to get addressed. And it was one of those moments of like the story writing itself, like, oh, of course, that's how this would go. And that one was a little heartbreaking for me. I didn't expect that to happen. So I think I'm just as surprised as the readers will be when they see that one.
When you're writing, do you ever feel like, do you ever put your hat on as just a reader reading the story as you're writing it and feel like, I don't want to do this to this character, but I have to? Like, not only for the story, but for them, for their development and things like that. Does that ever, come across your mind, or is it, do you always have that author hat on of, no, this is how this needs to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of a two-part question because it's partially the writing and then it's the editing. And so I think when I'm writing, usually I have more of my author hat on and I'm more kind of planning. Sometimes, though, it does absolutely happen. I was actually working on book two earlier today, and there are a couple moments in that that people are going to really suffer. And I was suffering right there and was like, gosh, I hate that this is happening, but it's got to happen. But then also with the editing part, I think, I've read The Rose in the Shadows 5 billion times at this point. I know every single chapter, but there's still a couple times that I'll flip through and just kind of catch a couple sentences or phrases and be like, did I really write that? Like, so it does, there are moments that I picture it more as a reader and it catches me off guard.
Do you find joy in writing those moments that you know are going to elicit those emotions from readers, whether it be, killing off a fan favorite character, whether it be just taking, subverting expectations where you think something's going to happen and then it does, but in a way that no one was expecting. Do you enjoy that? Because I'm sure, if you're a fan of Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, we know how that book ended, and now we're in this waiting period of what happens next. So I'm curious, like, does that ever is that ever a goal for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as an author, like my goal is to make you feel things, and that's not always good, happy emotions. Sometimes that is the suffering and the turmoil and the, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? And so it does bring a lot of joy to get to wait for people's reactions to that. And there's been a couple times as people are slowly getting their hands on The Rose in the Shadows that I get to see the reactions that they're having, and some of them are absolutely the moments where I was like, oh, did you get to that part yet? And some of them are moments that catch me by surprise, but it's very much a different experience working with The Rose in the Shadows as a debut novel versus what I'm doing now, which is writing book two. Because now that people have had these characters in their brain and I've gotten to hear people's reactions to the characters, now I can really identify, like, oh, they're gonna love this part or they're gonna hate this part. And it kind of is in the back of my head as I'm writing.
How's the experience been so far writing book two?
Really interesting. It was challenging at first, I think, because I had worked on The Rose in the Shadows for so long. I started it in 2017. It's now 2024 that it's getting published. So this has been a long, long time that all I've thought about is The Rose in the Shadows. So then to transition back into writing after a year of editing and into writing a new book when all I've thought about is this one was challenging at first. And I'm getting into the rhythm of it now, and things are starting to get exciting. And I'm starting to really kind of fall in love with some of the characters that we already know, some of the characters who are new, some of the settings and situations that are going to be new. And so I'm really, really excited about it. I think the second book, which is titled The Crown of the Dark Prince, I think it's just bigger and better than Rose in the Shadows. And so my goal is to get that out pretty fast because I know people are already kind of anticipating it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the title, by the way. That already
Thank
makes me so excited to not only read Rose in the Shadows, but that one as well. Now, obviously you mentioned you wrote that story or began writing that story in 2017. It's
you.
2024. It's soon to be out into the world. How did it feel when you got that shipment of that book and you held it in your hands? Like, take me through that.
I don't fully remember. It was kind of a blackout moment in a lot of ways. It was so exciting and it's so rewarding to have, after all of these years of work, to have it like real and in my hands. But also in a lot of ways, it was kind of funny that obviously there had been so many years building up to that moment, but by the time I actually started moving it towards publication, things started moving very quickly. It was really only a course of a few months that we got formatted for publication, that we designed the pages, that we got the cover art, that it was going out to ARC readers. It was all very fast. And so on the one hand, it felt like, oh my goodness, I finally have it after all these years of work. And on the other hand, it was like, I can't believe I have it already. Let's see this so fast. So it was just surreal. There's not another word to kind of describe it.
And the fact that you're able to share that moment with everybody on TikTok, I thought it was so
Yeah.
cool. And, you know, speaking of TikTok, how has being on TikTok, Book Talk specifically, not only helped you as an author reach a whole new reader, you know, base and just talk to people, see what people are into and whatnot, but also as just a reader as well, kind of keeping your finger on the pulse of, you know, what people are reading 24/7.
Yeah, I think that I love Book Talk. I love that Book Talk happened, that it exists.
Yeah.
It has made reading cool again. And it has created such a community of readers. I think of the books that I read that I've been reading my whole life. And then all of a sudden, people saw one of my TikTok videos about it. And I've got my real life friends coming up and saying, hey, I read that book too, that we would have never talked about reading beforehand.
Right.
So I love the community that comes with that. I think that I have found some of my favorite books ever because of Book Talk recommendations that I never would have known had I not seen this creator post about it or seen this video about it. And I think that that can be really enlightening as an author too, because you're able to see what appeals to me, what catches my interest as a reader, what's catching the interest of a lot of other readers and performing well, and how can I adapt that marketing strategy for my purposes too. So I think that it's really quite fun to think about where your book fits within the world of Book Talk.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right, because every book that's on my bookshelf behind me is, you know, thanks to Book Talk, honestly. I mean, while I have Book Talk to thank for, you know, my bank account slowly taking a nosedive, it is also responsible for like a ton of great stories that otherwise I would have never read. I would have never started this podcast. I would have never been able to talk to, you know, you and a bunch of other authors about what they're working on. So, I mean, it's been amazing. And, you know, another thing that a lot of people have been using Book Talk for is, you know, finding and giving advice to authors, whether or not they're just starting out, whether they're in the thick of it, or whether they are super successful and, you know, just about to start their next book. So with that, do you have any advice for aspiring authors that may be, you know, starting out writing their first, you know, book, or maybe they're in that process of, I don't know if I'm going to finish this. I don't know if I can trust myself and my own creative process to get this done. And to those people, you know, what advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think for people who are kind of struggling through a draft and they're not sure if they're going to finish it, my best advice is nobody has to read it. If you get to the place where you want people to read it, then that's awesome. And you get to share it with them. But you are also more than welcome to write for yourself. If it's bringing you joy, then invest your time in what brings you joy and happiness. And if it ends up that when everything's said and done, you want to share it, then that's even better. If not, you know, that's cool. I have so many scrapped books on my computer that will never see the light of day, and that's okay. They were fun for me and they were good for me at that time. They helped me become a better writer and a better storyteller. And I wouldn't have The Rose in the Shadows if I didn't have those completed projects. Yeah. In terms of just authors in general and trying to kind of figure that out, my best advice is to kind of take your time to be a critical thinker. I think a lot of times we can get really lost in the writing and how exciting that is and how creative that is to just kind of sit down and write a book. And then we get so excited that it's done that we're like, okay, now I'm going to publish it and it's going to be great. And there has to be so much more that goes into it.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking about my journey, right? I needed to take the time to learn about writing, to learn about a 27 chapter structure, to learn about promises to the reader. I needed to take the time to make a decision on if traditional publishing or indie publishing was right for me. Now I need to take the time to think about marketing and to think about how to create viral content that's going to sell my books. And that is fun in and of itself. If you start to conceptualize that as part of the writing process, then it gives you the permission to have fun with it and be creative with that and think about marketing as another way to kind of stretch some of those creative muscles just in a different facet. So yeah, I think just kind of taking your time and understanding that the process of publishing is more than just kind of putting words on the paper, and all of those steps can be fun and can be enjoyable if you kind of take them for what they are.
I love what you mentioned about marketing, because I think that is not only with promoting a book and making those sales, but for so many other things that, you know, whether you're starting a business or anything, pretty much anything, it's such an important part of it that I think a lot of people tend to forget. And, you know, I myself, I work in a marketing agency. I'm in, you know, PR and helping people through that avenue, I guess. And you're absolutely right. Like, it is so hard to not only figure out what works, figure out what's going to, you know, hit the algorithm in the perfect way to get those views. And then once you hit it, like, you still have to figure out how to do it again. And I think that's almost even harder than doing it the first time. So yeah, I hope people listen and take that advice, because it is the thing that I feel like tends to be forgotten sometimes. I think sometimes we get so caught up on, you know, finishing the thing that we forget we have to also market it, which is a war.
It's stressful too, right? Like, it's stressful to think about, I need to sell books so that I can afford to do a second book. You know, how, what is going to pop off? What is going to hit the algorithm right? And we get so overwhelmed with creating perfect marketing materials that we lose like the creativity in it. And that creating a video about my book is just as fun as working on the book. I get to think about the visuals for it. I get to think about what scenes are the most interesting. That is a creative process in and of itself, and lean into that. And it's going to make it A, more enjoyable for you. But B, I think if you're making it really creative and unique, then there's a better chance people are going to respond to it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Just have fun with it, you know, make it fun. I think the moment it starts to feel like work is when it's probably you're going to hit that wall and be like, I don't want to do this anymore. But yeah, no, that was fantastic. Arcadia, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. So guys, this episode, we recorded it at the end of February, but it'll be coming out today, a couple weeks before release date, which is April 11th. So Arcadia, if you could tell people where they can find the book and all that good stuff, I give you the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me online at Arcadia Rain, and that is spelled A-R-C-A-D-I-A. Rain, R-A-Y-N-E, a little bit of an interesting spelling there. Thanks, Dad. That is where you can find me. I'm pretty popular, pretty active, excuse me, not popular, pretty active on Instagram and TikTok. And then as far as The Rose in the Shadows, there are ebook pre-orders that are up from now until after release day, but I have a special incentive that is going on. Ebook pre-orders are super important for making sure that books are successful on release day. So from now until April 11th, they are on sale for $199. After release day on the 11th, that price does go up to $499. So snag it now while it is a little discounted. And if you send verification of that to me, you'll be entered into a couple different giveaways. And then on April 11th itself, paperbacks and hardcovers will also be available.
Awesome. All right, guys. All of that information will be in the description of the episode. And yeah, please go and get this book, pre-order it, read it, rate it, review it. Anywhere that you leave your reviews, definitely do it, because I guarantee you that, you know, just from talking to you today and just reading the synopsis and all that stuff, I know I'm going to love the book. So, guys, please do it and tell Arcadia how much you love the book. And then we'll be waiting for book two whenever that is released. So again, Arcadia, thank you so much. And everyone at home, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all next week.